The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone. It's Capital One Cup Week. We've got Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern on the line to have a look at these seven games. Sunderland Southampton being played a week on Wednesday, so just a seven to look through. Are you both well?
Very well, thank you.
We're recording this on a Sunday night. The William Hill offices are being refurbed, so I think it's going to be a building site in the morning. So I thought I'd better get in on Sunday night, otherwise there might not be a podcast. We're going to start off with a TV game on Tuesday night and then look through the rest. Some intriguing ties as well. Arsenal versus Chelsea is where we begin. We're fresh from seeing Chelsea beat Manchester City in the Premier League. That happened this afternoon as we record this. They're 6-4 to win at the Emirates. Arsenal didn't have too much trouble, really, I suppose, getting past their Premier League opponents this weekend. Crystal Palace won 2-0 in the end. They're 8-5 to win this game. And it's 9-4 the price for the draw. I guess, as usual, it's about the teams that these teams put out, isn't it? The actual sides that they put out. Arsenal have been sticking with a younger side. We wondered how much weaker they could go. But to be fair, they do. Look at the teams from the last couple of weeks. Monreal plays, Jenkinson, Hayden, Miachi played, Eisfeldt as well, Gnabry and Bentner. They were all in the team that went to West Brom and won on penalties. Chelsea, this is a bit of a cliche, Ron, I suppose. But this is a tournament that Mourinho likes, which is his first ever trophy for Chelsea, and you wouldn't be surprised at all if he earmarks this one again. He likes to win everything he enters, really, Mourinho, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and he, of the two, I think he's in a better position to sort of switch players around. The disadvantage is, you know, he will have had a day less to recuperate for the game, or his team will. But I could still see them sending quite a strong team out. Arsenal, you're never sure. You're not quite sure what sort of team Arsenal will put out on the field. Although, you know, in some of those names you've just mentioned, I mean, like Monreal is a Spanish international so forth. And Bednar is cut fresh off his two goals against Italy. So he can put a fairly strong side out. I actually fancy Chelsea in this one. Mm. I think that they will show... I mean, I don't think Wenger will take it lightly. I think he badly needs to get that thing off his shoulder and try and get a win in this. You know, if they'd have been in Birmingham 2 years ago, nobody could have levelled that 8 years or so without a trophy against him, could they?
No.
But I think Chelsea are capable of putting a stronger team out, and I think certainly Mourinho will want to win it. So, yeah. Might go to extra time, but no, I'd be looking for Chelsea to win it.
Yeah, you look at the team that Mourinho sent to Swindon in the last round, Derek, where they won. Schwarzer, Cahill, Luiz, Aspilicueta, Bertrand, Essien, Willian, De Bruyne, Van Ginkel, Torres and Mata was his starting 11. Terry and Barr came on. Ramirez came on for Van Ginkel in the end. But yeah, Eto on the bench, Schürrle on the bench. I mean, you know, it's one of those where Chelsea can't really weaken down, can they?
Exactly. You know, both sides played weakened teams in the last round.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, some of them were unrecognisable. Chelsea's were all household names, and there lies the difference. One of my golden rules, which I keep ignoring, by the way, but one of my golden rules is to oppose a team playing within 48 hours of its previous game. You know, so I should really oppose Chelsea here, but it's going to be a lot, you know, a different 11 entirely. Let's not forget too that Arsenal's, you know, Ron's right. You know, Arsenal should concentrate on this cup because it gives them a real chance of ending that 8-year trophy drought. But that applied in the first round or the second round, whatever it was, they came in, and the team they sent out there for a tough game away at West Brom. You know, it gave every sign that they're not really bothered this year about the competition. So I'm going to go for Chelsea. Don't forget, by the way, that Arsenal are playing Liverpool on Saturday as well. He's going to want to keep his big guns fresh for that. So, yeah, I'll roll in with Ron here. I think Chelsea, good things.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about Torres for a second, Derek? I think don't we?
Well, you know, listen, Lee, he's not a proper footballer in my eyes. Even when he was scoring, I've said this many times, when he was scoring all his goals for Liverpool, I thought most of the time, he looked like an amateur. I have to say, he played as well today against Man City as I've seen him. You know, even going back to his Liverpool pomp. But you know that the next nightmare is only round the corner because he's that kind of player. He's a very much hit and miss player. When things are on blob for him, some of the things he'll do, you think, how can he do that when he's crap? But that's what he did at Liverpool. But you know, this is not. He hasn't turned the corner here. It's just one of those. You know, the sitter he missed in the game is more. You know, is more representative of Torres' form over the last three seasons than what came afterwards. But yeah, I'll hold my hands up. He did well.
Yeah. Good on you. 2-1's a common scoreline when these two meet in the Cup, by the way. Not too often that they've met in the Cup competitions in recent years, but Chelsea beat Arsenal at their place in the FA Cup in 2009, and it was 2-1. And a previous encounter in the League Cup was the same scoreline as well, and that was only a couple of years before that as well. 2007, they beat them at home 2-1, and they played in the Community Shield, which I guess is a one-off game, and that was 2-1 Chelsea as well. So 2-1 Chelsea might not be a bad shout if you like those quirky little historical things.
Getting back on Torres, that's the biggest surprise out of all. The Fergie hasn't done a bit on him in the book, and
actually, you're right there, Ron.
Probably thought not. Yeah, no need.
Why put a pal the agony on someone who's gone at the game? He probably thought, yeah.
Jordan Henderson's reaction to that, by the way, was very commendable, wasn't it? Very eloquent, eloquent way of dealing with it. Which it was pretty much, he said, I can't say anything about him, and I respect him as a manager. He's, obviously done everything in the game, and I'll try and take it on board. It's fair enough, isn't it? You can't do much more than that.
I'd love to hear what he's saying in private, though.
Oh, yeah. We all would, wouldn't we? Let's have a look at the non-TV games on Tuesday night. First one's an interesting one. Birmingham at home to Stoke. This is 23-10 for Birmingham to win. 23-10 the price for the draw. And Stoke City are priced up at 10-11. If you don't follow Championship football too well, Birmingham are 19th in the Championship table currently. Not having the best of time at the minute. They've lost two and drawn one of the last three. The draw was on Saturday at Derby County. I think they're actually 20th in the division, Birmingham, actually, not 19th. In the Cup, though, they've played Plymouth and got through after extra time 3-2. Played Yeovil, got through 3-3 and then on penalties. Then they beat Swansea 3-1, so they're not finding it hard to score goals in this competition. And neither were Stoke on Saturday, were they, Derek? No. I think a lot of us were kind of wondering if Stoke could possibly get anything at United, and they came pretty close, didn't they?
Yeah, they did well. Probably deserved to win the game, actually. Reading the report and looking at the briefer highlights. That performance came from nowhere, because both Ron and I and Robbie, I think, we just doubted whether Stoke had any kind of firepower to trouble United. So the fact that they scored two at Old Trafford gives you an idea where United's problems are. They played a decent side in their last game against Tranmere. I think they rested Walters, but they had Crouch on, or Nortovic on. Charlie Adam was one of the subs, but it was a strong Stoke side, and you've got to fancy them in this game, because Sparky, big cup player, wasn't he, as a player? I think he'll be looking at this thinking, this is a chance that we could win this tournament here. I'm going to go for Stoke here. I think they look a bit good, because Birmingham's problems. I mean, they keep. There's no way Birmingham, a team of Birmingham's reputation in Calabria, should be 19th, 20th in the Championship, isn't it? Stoke are well capable of winning.
I've got to tell you, I've seen them play 8 times this season, and they are so ordinary you can't doubt it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, Stoke would have to play very badly not to win it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, very badly. And one of the big weaknesses Birmingham have got is they struggle at the back defensively in the air. The centre half is a big lad. In fact, he's almost a young addition, a Crouch, this centre half Burn. But I've got to tell you, he gets murdered in the air.
I would
if Sparky sends anything like his proper team, and I think he'd have to, because this is probably the only competition they would have a chance in of doing anything. I'd see them winning it.
The odds on price, maybe people go, oh, it's Stoke odds on, but the goal scorer prices are nice. Everyone's odds against for Stoke, so Crouch 6-4, and Arnautovic is 7-4 as well. Charlie Adam maybe from a set piece 100-30, Stephen Ireland 100-30, starting to get forward a bit more. So Robert Huth, taking on board what Ron's just said, 11-2 anytime.
There might be
a little bit of value in some of those Stoke scorers.
You're right, and
I could see Stoke winning this to nothing.
Yeah,
it might be worth a go with that, Ron.
And the goals.
Just as an aside, Lee, there's an article, a great article to be written. I'm probably going to have to write it soon, about the fact that you mentioned these to get on the score sheet when the teams are away from home. Mm. They're obviously a bigger price to win the game than it would be at home. Therefore, the players to get on the score sheet are bigger prices. Yet you look at the top goal scorers in the Premier League, and almost all of them have scored more goals away from home than they have at home.
Doesn't make any sense that. I mean,
but they get more room, don't they?
It doesn't make any sense that a goal scorer won't score goals. You don't have to win the game, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not, you know, so yeah. Robert, I mean, just plucking one out there on Ron's thinking there. Robert Huth to score in a Stoke win is 8-1, so.
Yeah. Put anybody off that, would you?
No, you wouldn't. If you saw that, you wouldn't be overly surprised, would you?
And that would be the first goal either.
No, any time that is.
Oh, that's decent. In fact, if I go to the game, I might have that. I might have a little punt on that. Yeah.
I don't want any of the winnings.
Yeah,
20-1 if he gets the first one. By the way, Huth, just a quirky one there. Manchester United's next game is at home to Norwich in the cup. United at 100-30 on. 100-30 the price for the draw, and Norwich are priced up at 7-1. Had chances to beat Cardiff, but finished 0-0. I think we said it would be a very low-scoring, tight game between Norwich and Cardiff, and so it proved. Cardiff keeper played brilliant in the first half. But Norwich should maybe happy with that in a way, Ron, because they'd conceded 7 goals in the previous two games against Arsenal and Chelsea. Stoke caused United troubles, of course. Sociedad should have been put away. They weren't. Southampton obviously caused them problems. Can Norwich do it?
Well, if you think back, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, Crystal Palace went there and did it. I think an awful lot depends on what team Moisey puts out. And I think he's got to put a strongest... You know, obviously he'll change it round. I would be surprised if Percy plays. I think he'd have him on the bench if he's suffering with this toe injury he's got. But can he risk leaving both him and Rooney out? I ain't sure about that.
Rooney looks like he wants to play every time, every game as well, doesn't he? Rooney looks like he wants to play every minute of every game.
And don't forget Moisey. Moisey can't really afford to get beat in this. You know, if he get beaten that one or two, start the mutterings would come round again. So
it started on Saturday, didn't it, Ron? I mean, there's a lot of chat on the phone-ins on Saturday night about United fans booing the team, and, you know, booing Nani in particular, I guess.
If I was going to the game, I wouldn't put anybody up to 7-1 Norwich. You know, that's a gamble, but if you're just going and everything was even, you'd have to fancy United to win it. So I suppose on that logic, I would go for United to win.
Mm. It won't be a great atmosphere there, Derek, because it isn't at the minute, I don't think. I think it's a bit nervy. Here's a surprise as well for you. Kagawa scored three times when they beat Norwich 4-0 last season. One of his few really starring roles. 6-4 to get one this time if he plays.
I think he will play as well.
Yeah, Norwich haven't really got enough, have they, unfortunately?
They've
got the player. Well, they've got the goal scorers, you'd think, but they don't seem to be doing it at the minute, do they?
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a bit of time for Norwich. I saw them in a recent game. I can't remember which one it was now.
It was a Chelsea game, probably.
Yeah, the Chelsea game, and they surprised me. It was a really impressive performance by them. They're a couple of points below what Stoke were at the weekend to win, weren't they? 7-1 them, and... you can't really go for United. United played a strongest side against Liverpool in the last round, but there was a reason for that. They'd just been the backside smacked a couple of days earlier and couldn't afford to go out to the big rivals in the cup. So that explains why they had the strongest side out. I don't see them playing a team that strong this time around. And you look at United now, when they weaken down, they look like a weakened United team. The same doesn't apply to City and Chelsea. They've still got household names there. I'm almost tempted. I'm trying to talk myself into going for Norwich here at 7-1. You know, I think they've just got a few players there that might bring might trouble United. Mm. They've got Nathan Redmond. He played a strong side in the last round as well. You know what, Lee? In a competition there, United have been very vulnerable over the past few seasons. I'm going to give Norwich a little go, just for a fiver's sake.
Mm, yeah, if you like the handicaps, I mean, Derek usually likes to look at the handicaps when you get
they're
a
not
slight...
up yet, though, are they?
No, they're not up on the Hills website. Yeah. But there's a few, you know, you look back and Ron mentioned the Crystal Palace game. They beat Wolves 3-2, so a +2 would have landed there. Wolves 1-0 in 2009, so same again there. Conceded 2 goals to Derby County, did beat them 4-2. Conceded 3 to Blackburn the year before that, it was a 5-3. There's a few games over the years where they haven't pummeled their opposition when they've been a much better side as well. Interesting one. This is a good game, this one. Burnley West Ham. Burnley 8-5, 21-10 the draw. West Ham 7-5. Burnley are top of the championship at the moment with 32 points from their 13 games. Listen to this as well. In all competitions, they've won 13, drawn 2 and lost 1, scoring 31 goals and conceding 7, which is some record. At home, they've won 7, drawn 2, lost none, scoring 18 and conceding just 4. The men who are banging the goals in for them, Sam Vokes and Ings, as Danny Ings as well, he got 2 at the weekend when they beat QPR, who were, you know, third, who were in the they were second. It was first versus second, and they beat them quite easily. Just wonder if West Ham might weaken down a bit here, Derek. If they do, this is Burnley's game, surely.
Yeah, you'd fancy them. I'm anti-West Ham, but the 0-0 results on Sunday, you could see that coming a mile off. That's what they do when they're away from home. Didn't really weaken down too much in the last round, did he? I think they only left Kevin Nolan out. That was the only sort of recognisable first teamer who didn't play. So you'd imagine Sam Allardyce giving it the bifters in this game. But yeah, you're right, Burnley are doing absolutely nothing wrong. And that was a very tidy win against QPR. They could easily have come a cropper there against the side that, a lot of people fancy. But they were tremendous. And I'd have to fancy Burnley here. I actually think, from what I've seen, I have to say little I've seen of Burnley. I've seen a fair bit of West Ham. I'll be surprised if Burnley are on a better side, to be honest.
Interestingly as well, Ron, I mean, they've played each other a fair bit recently in recent years in the Championship, also met in the FA Cup. Burnley beat them at West Ham in December 2011 when Sam Vokes actually got on the score sheet then. That's interesting. Also beat them in the same season in 2010 at home, 2-1 as well. Nothing to fear for Burnley here, is there?
No, I think once again you try and get an idea of the lineup.
Yep.
Because I certainly think Burnley will take it a lot more seriously than West Ham. I think Sam's mode has been every year, whatever happens, we say at the bottom four or bottom three. And cup competitions seem to be a bit of a nuisance to him.
Yeah. I have that in the back of my mind somewhere. But that team that Derek mentioned, it didn't weaken down so much in the last round, which is interesting.
Yeah. Were they at home?
No, yeah, they were at home to Cardiff.
Yes, well, I think that's a big difference. If you're at home, you got your own fans to sort of satisfy and things like that. Mm. Away from home at Burnley, if they get beat at Burnley, it won't even be, it won't be a shock, will it? There won't be headlines like in the past where a top side gets beaten by a second division team, a team that's it's flying at the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
I think some will be more concerned with the weekend than he will in the cup.
Yeah.
The manager's done well there, Dyche, and he did well at Watford, you know, before they put Serva.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bit of a, because it was an Italian takeover, Zola got the job.
Mm, yeah, there's a lot of people
doing all right.
Yeah, a lot of people speak highly of him. Yeah, that Burnley scoring record, lots of goals at home. West Ham, the only goals they've scored all season away from home are those three at Tottenham.
Still inexplicable, that result, isn't
drawn
it?
A blanket, really, Newcastle, Southampton, Hull and Swansea. So if Burnley can outscore them, simple as that.
But one just to say about, Allardyce might not treat it with full commitment. The round before on, I know they played a good side out in the last game against Cardiff. They were at home. Oh, mind you, were at home again against Cheltenham in the earlier round, and again played a pretty much full strength side. Only Kevin Nolan again on the bench.
Mm.
So maybe he's treating it a little bit seriously. Who knows? But you were right. They were at home both times there. This is a bit different.
Yeah. The price won't change that much, I don't think, either, really, will it, if when the traders see the team news?
No, not this game.
Another one here, another one where a Championship team could get one over on the Premier League team. This is Leicester versus Fulham. The odds are very similar, but the other way around. Leicester are the 7-5 favourites in this match. Fulham are 8-5, and the draw is 21-10. Leicester are second. A 2-1 win over Bournemouth at the weekend. Their record this season is very good as well. 12, drawn 2, lost 2, scored 30, conceded 17. Fulham, of course, as we know, they're back in the kind of in the pressure zone, aren't they? After the weekend, losing 2-0 at Southampton, and they could probably well do without this. They're 14th in the Premier League, so it's not an absolute disaster yet. But you can imagine they could do without it in a sense, Ron. And Leicester are playing great, aren't they? At the minute, they're scoring goals.
Pretty well, they've got Nugent scoring again. Yeah. And at that level, he's got to prove very. Yeah. He's got a very decent record.
And that Vardy as well is knocking him in as well, isn't he? He's the other one who's scoring for them.
I just wonder whether Leicester... I'm just having a look now. Did they go the weekend, Leicester?
They've got Watford away.
Watford, aren't they? Mm. So Watford, whether that's a Sunday game, I don't know.
It's a 12:15 Saturday game, Ron.
Is it a Saturday game?
Yeah, the lunchtime one as well, which seems a bit unfair. But...
Yeah, I think that may be a priority with Nigel Pearson.
Mm.
And he may leave one or two of his key players out, which may give, I don't know, Fulham, will they leave out, whatever. Just got a feeling that Fulham might take advantage of this. Just looking at it. If Leicester were in the mood for it and wanted to win it, I'd be back in Leicester. But I just got a feeling that Nigel Pearson might just stab one eye on the weekend.
With that League Cup pedigree as well?
Yeah, I know, but he has to win.
Yes, he does.
He has to get promotion this season.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah, he's under quite a lot of pressure, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, that is the sort of thing that's been set out for him. He has to go up this season, and as I say, I think they'll put a big emphasis on that, and I think he might leave one or two out.
Derek?
Well, I mean, good result for Fulham in the last round, wasn't it? 2-1 win over Everton. Not many teams have beaten Everton. And I was looking at the team sheet they put out there. Pretty strong team. They were, you know, they didn't weaken down in any way, which surprises me, really. I thought Martin Jol would be you know, prioritising safety. What Ron says about Leicester is a bit of a worry for me, because I looked at this fixture and I thought, yeah, I'm having Leicester all day, because that game, that performance by Fulham on Saturday was an absolute disgrace at Southampton. And Ron called it. Ron had a fantastic weekend, by the way. And you know what, Ron? You after listening to your summary of that game, your preview of that game, clash of styles, you said, and Fulham won't fancy Southampton style, and wasn't that ever true? Difficult one to call, this league. I'm going to go with Leicester because at Fulham away from home, I'm always prepared to back against them.
I'm getting a bit uncomfortable with all this.
I know. Yeah, that'll change. I'll go back to my normal horrible scout gear shortly.
I reckon he's had a couple of jars, Ronnie. He must have done. Sunday afternoon, you know, watching the football in the pub.
Yeah.
So, Leicester. There's a real quirky one here as well. Out of the games this season, they've played 16 games this season, Leicester. 9 games have finished 2-1. And they've scored 2 or more goals in 12 of those 16 matches this season. So
that's what I'm saying. But I think Nugent's very instrumental
in
that.
Yeah.
And if he's not playing, then I mean, if I was Nigel Pearson, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
Not with a Saturday lunchtime game. If you're a bit later Sunday or something like that, you might look at it a bit different.
Got Forest the week after as well, Leicester as well. It's got a couple of big weekends coming up in the Championship. Newcastle versus Manchester City is the TV game on Wednesday night. This is the penultimate one we'll look at. Both teams suffering 2-1 away defeats in the derby match today, of course. Newcastle losing at Sunderland. 3-1 to win this at home. The draw's 12-5, and City, of course, losing 2-1 at Chelsea. Are 8-11 to win this one. Their last performance in the League Cup was a 5-0 demolition of Wigan Athletic, where Dzeko got the opener. Jovetic got a couple as well. Before that, they'd had a real struggle in this competition. When you look back, they'd lost to Liverpool in 2000 and in 2012. There was a drawn match as well, and they'd lost to Villa, of course. Never really had a run in this recently, Derek, have they, City? And Newcastle, not particularly fantastic either, really, to be honest. Not very good pedigree in the League Cup either, these sides.
No. But, you know, I was reading one of the papers today that Pellegrini has told the players that, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't win all 4 trophies or certainly go for them.
Yeah.
And you think, well, is that just lip service? A manager saying that, you know, a team, Moneybag City, he's got to say that to appease the fans. But you look at the team he sent out against Wigan in that 5-0 win, and yeah, okay, there was one or two players that wouldn't be in the first choice in the Premier League, but still, it was a top-class side. I fear for Newcastle if City are at it. Because even though they got beat by Chelsea on Sunday, there was a lot to like about their performance. Aguero, again, unbelievable goal. And Newcastle, for the derby match on Sunday against Sunderland, that Sunderland side there for the taking, it was a pretty poverty-stricken performance by Newcastle, I thought. I think City are real good things here. I know that Ron's got reservations ever back in City away from home, but I think they'll win this one.
Do you know why that is, Derek? Because I think defensively they're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
I was a lot more confident, like I keep harking on. I know he'll come in, he'll probably play in this game, Lescott. But when Company and Lescott were central defenders, I was a lot more confident of them going anywhere and getting the results. Didn't he play the Argentinian boy today?
Yeah, he looked a bit off the pace, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, he, all right, he didn't play the game. I can't see how they can bring him in for a game like that, bearing in mind that he hasn't played any games. He can train, but surely you would have had to have played him in a League Cup game or something like that beforehand.
Yeah.
Poor sticking him in a game of that magnitude. So I'm always suspicious about what they can do at the back. Yeah, if they can see the thing off at the back, you know, they can beat anybody. You know, once the tour is the Silvers and Aguero start playing, right, the second is he going to play Aguero? Is he going to leave him out? He's got those the two new lads he's bought. About time there to go. Did Dzeko play today?
No, he didn't, but he played in the last round in this game.
Yeah.
He seems to have fallen out of favour a bit, though, hasn't he? He was flying at the start.
Yeah, he's got players he can bring in.
Yeah.
But
he'd be worth a go on the goals, wouldn't he, I think, Dzeko, if he plays.
I've got a funny old feeling Newcastle might do him.
Really?
Newcastle have got Chelsea at the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Man City are at home to Norwich, so a bit of a difference in opposition lining up
at
the weekend.
Mind you, that match last year cost me the league, didn't it?
Oh, yes, it did, right. Didn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to go on the fact that they badly need a result, Newcastle. Badly need to win. Yeah, I think Pardew has got it's almost a must-win game for Pardew. Otherwise, he'll be the favourite flavour of the month.
Yeah, and there was a few people today saying that they started snapping up some odds on him to be the next one to go, which would be interesting, wouldn't it?
You never know what you're going to get from them, do you, Newcastle?
No, the game before against Liverpool was great.
Yeah, you know, you look at, well, they've turned a corner now, Newcastle. They're going to start climbing, and then they turn a performance in like that against Sunderland.
Let's not forget the performance that City put in against Newcastle. I know it was the other way around in terms of where it was
right.
Played.
First,
but
first Monday of the season.
They battered them, didn't they? Yeah. Absolutely battered them.
Been up there a couple of times, I remember, and your big man's played very well, hasn't he, Touré? Up there, but will he play them? I don't know.
That's interesting.
By the way, we're not wrong about, I see Robbie's on about him, but I've been harking about that Gareth Barry situation all along. You know, he's, now City have let him go, I don't know. But we've got to talk to Robbie about one thing. You said, you know, things you don't associate with Gareth Barry passing the ball. That's what you do associate him with.
Yeah, that's the only thing you associate him with, isn't he? He doesn't do anything else.
Epic passer of the ball.
Yeah. Very strange, that one.
Final game is a rerun of one that we've just seen today. Tottenham versus Hull. Let's hope it's got more goals in it. Hull feel pretty disgruntled this evening as we record this at the penalty that was given to them, which Soldado dispatched and which beat them 1-0. Tottenham are 3-1 on to win this game at home. The draw is 100-30, and Hull are priced up at 6-1. Often in cup games, when they follow so soon after a league game, the two games are just poles apart, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can we expect over 4.5 in this one with a bit of luck? Do you reckon?
I'll tell you what I might go for. I might go for a 3.
Yeah.
And I'm good. Obviously midweek he'll play on his Defoe.
Yes, Defoe will be in there, yeah.
That's your midweek money.
Yeah, that's Defoe to score and Tottenham to win, as usual. You should just have that bet every week when they're in midweek action, shouldn't you, and leave it. This is a daft one, really, Derek, but Tottenham fans haven't seen their team play a League Cup match at home since 2010 when they lost to Arsenal 4-1.
Jesus.
And this will only be their third home tie in the Carling in the League Cup in 12 since they beat Burnley 4-1 in January 2009, and didn't play again at home until the following campaign when they beat Everton, and then the Arsenal game, and then now. So it's a strange one, that, isn't it? Quirky one.
It is. But you know, they'll be cheering a home victory because even at 1-3, Tottenham will win this. It's way shorter. Isn't it? I mean, they weren't as short as 1-3 in the league on Saturday, were they, Tottenham?
No, they weren't.
4-11, was it? 6-5. And you think, well, hang on, that actually can't be right. Surely they should be shorter for the Premier League. But the reason is, your odds compilers have seen with the team Hull played in their last round. They beaten two lower division teams 1-0, one of them after extra time, and they didn't have any Huddleston, didn't have any Livermore. They're definitely weakened down, and Steve Bruce has previous for that. You know, I don't think they're going to be trying a leg in this game. I really don't. Tottenham are weakened down, but their team, they had Harry Kane, Defoe, people like that in the last game, but it's still, you know, players well capable of doing a job at the top level, and they'll win this one, 1-3.
You might doubt that they could put in two consistent performances as well, Hull, in such a short space. I presume they'll stay down there.
Would they?
I don't know. Would they, Ron? Would you stay down there if you were manager, or would you go back down?
They wouldn't. Wednesday, innit?
Yeah.
Nah.
Come back home and go back up again.
They'll be back home by now.
They'll be flying anyway, won't they? So.
Yeah, they'll be back home now.
Not like the old days, is it?
No, we had a game like that. I might even come down on the day of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's been a night match.
Yeah.
Tottenham. By the turning up.
let's just have the 1-3 now and be done with it, shall we?
Yeah.
Two Tottenhams then to finish off with.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks very much, chaps. We're done. Just that other game outstanding, which we'll cover off next week. Thanks for your time, and we'll speak before the weekend.
Brilliant. Cheers, lads.
The must start is.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling.
Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.